Go with me, if you would, back to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12. In this portion of Scripture we just had read to us, our Lord deals with three different types of people. We just heard about three different types of people. They're all in the same boat. They all have the same end. And it's not a good one. First, some rebels came to our Lord, some troublemakers. Look at verse 13. And they send unto him certain of the Pharisees and of the Herodians to catch him in his words. And when they were come, they say unto him, Master, we know that thou art true and carest for no man, for thou regardest not the person of men, but teachest the way of God in truth. We know that. What they were saying is, we know that you're not going to pull any punches. We know that you're going to answer honestly. They said in verse 14 at the end, is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? Shall we give or shall we not give? Should we really bow down to a crooked government? Really? Should we support their agendas and their greed? That's all it is. That's all it is. Wouldn't we be better off just being anti-government? Wouldn't we be better off? Better off just saying, I'm not giving the government one red cent. Shouldn't we just cheat the government? That way we could give more to the church. We'd have more to give to the church. Verse 15, shall we give or shall we not give? But he, knowing their hypocrisy, said unto them, why tempt ye me? You know, it's dangerous to tempt the Lord, isn't it? It's dangerous to tempt the Lord. He said, why tempt ye me? Bring me a penny that I may see it. And they brought it, and he said unto them, whose is this image and superscription? And they say unto him, Caesar's. And Jesus answering said unto them, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And they marveled at him. What he said was, pay your taxes. That's what he said. Pay your taxes. Acknowledge in doing so that God is the one who allowed that government to be put into place. Render unto God what belongs to God. Acknowledge to him that that government can't do anything without him allowing it. Nothing without the permission of God Almighty. Acknowledge to him that that government is in his hands. We're about to have a new government, aren't we? Let's all in our hearts acknowledge every bit of it's in your hands. The lot is cast into the lap. I am going to go vote. And as soon as I cast my ballot, may God cause my heart to say, and I want to say this as I walk out. I'm going to hit accept. Turn around and walk out and say, the whole disposing is of the Lord. Every bit of it. It's all of the Lord. Acknowledge to God that all of the government is on his shoulders. Every bit of it. Render the things that are Caesar's to Caesar. And then render to God the things that are God's. After those rebels left him, some atheists came. Verse 18 says, then come unto him the Sadducees, which say there is no resurrection. There is no life after death. You just die. That's it. You just die. You expect me to believe all of that hogwash? You expect me to believe there's a new heaven and a new earth? You expect me to believe that there's a man whom we've never seen, who is everywhere, but nobody can see him, who chose some people, and they were that bad against him. They sinned that greatly against him, and they didn't have to do anything for him to freely give them eternity and all that's in it. You expect me to believe all that without scientific proof? Verse 18 says, "Then come unto him the Sadducees, which say there is no resurrection. And they asked him, saying, Master, Moses wrote unto us, if a man's brother die and leave his wife behind him, and leave no children, that his brother should take his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were seven brethren, and the first took a wife, and dying left no seed." They had no children. "And the second took her and died, neither left he any seed, and the third likewise. And the seven had her and left no seed. Last of all, the woman died also. And they said, now in the resurrection," okay, and they don't believe in the resurrection. So they're mocking him. That's what they're doing. They're just mocking him. They said in verse 23, "In the resurrection, therefore, when they shall rise, whose wife shall she be of them? For the seven had her to wife." "And Jesus answering said unto them, do you not therefore err because you know not the scriptures, neither the power of God? For when they shall rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels which are in heaven. And as touching the dead, that they rise, have you not read in the book of Moses, how in the bush God spake unto him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Ye therefore do greatly err." Is that not our greatest problem? Isn't that our greatest problem? Mankind errs not knowing the Scripture, right? Not knowing the Scripture. He said, you're going to find out really soon that there is a resurrection. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. He said, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they're all alive. They're all still alive. God told Moses that while he was in that bush. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, they're all still alive. They're alive and well. But the resurrection of the unbelieving is a resurrection unto damnation. All the bodies are going to come forth. And it's a resurrection to damnation. They're alive, but they're not well. They're not well. It's a resurrection to eternal torment. And he said, you're going to find out really soon that you've greatly erred. How terrible. Man, how terrible. Well, after the rebels left and after the atheists left, one more man comes to him. And this man is a religionist. This man is a law abider. He's a believer in God. This man is a believer in God. Now, let's all pay attention to this man. Verse 28 says, "And one of the scribes came." A scribe was a man who by profession wrote the word of God over and over and over. They didn't have printing presses, and the only way to preserve the book was to continually rewrite it. They transcribed. That's what his job was. That's what he did. And our Lord just finished telling the Sadducees, you do err not knowing the scriptures. Isn't that what he said? Now, this man right here practically knows every word. Almost every word. It's his job to read it and write it. That's all he does. He reads it and writes it. Verse 28, "One of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together," he was listening to our Lord's conversation with the rebels. And he listened to our Lord's conversation with the atheist. Verse 28, "One of the scribes came, having heard them reasoning together, and perceived that he had answered them well, and asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment, and the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, well, Master, thou hast said the truth. You've just said the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but He. And to love Him with all the heart and with all the understanding and with all the soul and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly, he said unto him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God. You're not far from the kingdom of God, which means you're not in it. That's what it means. You're not in it. You're close. You're close. But you're not in it. It doesn't matter if you are far from something or not far from something. You're not in it. Isn't that right? In either case, you're not in it. A man or a woman can know this book and still not know the Christ of this book. Every page, every word, and still not know the Christ of this book. There are men and women who have given their lives to studying Hebrew and Greek. They've given their lives to knowing that language, the original language of the Scripture. They know all about the dates. They know all about the events. They know all about the historical significance, how this affected this, how all of that ties together. But they still don't know Christ. Isn't that right? Our Lord told the Pharisees, you search the Scriptures. You do search the Scriptures. And in them you think you have eternal life. But they are they which testify of me. They testify of me. And he said, you won't come to me. You'll come to dates. You'll come to events. You'll come to historical significance. But you won't come to me that you might have life. That you might have life. And he said, you're going to die in your sins because you'll come to everything but me. Everything but me. He said, you're close. You're close to the kingdom, but you're not in. Now, this is something that deserves our vital attention. Our vital attention. We should not assume that we are in the kingdom. All right? Everybody does. Everybody does. We should not just assume that we are in the kingdom of God and then go on about our business. And I'll show you why. All right, let's look at this last man. Let's see what he believed here. Mark 12, verse 29 says, Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. And the scribe said unto him, well, Master, thou hast said the truth, for there is one God. This man believed there's one God. That's what he believed. There's one God. He said, well, Master, you've said the truth. You've said the truth. There is one God, and there's none other but He. This man knew the Word. He knew the Word. He knew there was one God, and there was none beside Him. This man was convinced in his heart of that. Verse 33, he said, "And to love Him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." He knew that loving this one God and bowing to His Word, He said, "Love your neighbor as yourself." He knew that that was more important and more profitable than observing any ceremony. He knew that. Any ceremony that could be put on a person. He knew that there must be a commitment in the heart. Not just a show of hands. There must be sincerity involved. And that's exactly right. Isn't that right? There must be sincerity involved. Out of the heart are the issues of life. Verse 34 says, "And when Jesus saw that he answered discreetly," that means soberly, carefully, sincerely. He meant what he said. But even though he knew there was one God, there was no God beside him. Even though he knew that true worship was not just a show of hands, it was a conviction of the heart. Even though he knew that. And even though he said, "Amen, Lord," you just said the truth. You just spoke the truth. Even though all that was so, the Lord said to him, "You are still outside the kingdom. I know that you've prophesied in my name. I know that you've cast out devils in my name. I know that you've done many wonderful works in my name. I know that, but you're still outside the kingdom." How scary is that? How scary is that? You think about Judas. Just think about Judas for 1 minute. Judas literally kissed God. And he still went to hell. Isn't that something? He walked with him. He talked with him. He was his treasurer. He was close to the kingdom of God. So close, but he was not in the kingdom of God. Now, it's one thing to know that there is one God. It's another thing altogether to know who that one God is. It's one thing to believe that somebody is telling you the truth. I believe that's the truth. I believe you just told me the truth. It's one thing to believe that somebody's telling you the truth, and it's another thing altogether to believe the truth he's telling you. Somebody will say, "Well, you sound like you're splitting hairs." No, I'm not. A person can believe in Christ and not believe Christ. You know where that will leave a man or woman? Close. Very close. Close to the kingdom of God. When Noah finished that ark, I'm sure there were a lot of people around that ark when the rain fell. And you could ask any of them, "Is that the ark?" "Yes, that's the ark. If I've ever seen the ark, that's the ark. You'll never be able to convince me that that's not the ark. Never." They were close. But they were not in. They were not in. It didn't matter what this man right here saw to be the truth. It didn't matter how right his doctrine seemed to be. Our Lord said to him, "You're not in the kingdom." Now that's fearful to me. That's fearful. Does that at all cause us to stop for just a second and wonder, am I in the kingdom? I have a real concern about this. I have a real concern to know this. And here's the reason why, okay? I believe that there's one God. I only believe there's one God. Men can talk about all these other gods, Muhammad and Allah and all those. I don't have put any stock in them. I believe there's one God. I believe beside Him there is no other. The next thing I believe is that His Word is truth. I believe that's the truth. I'm convinced of it in my heart. That is the truth right there. I believe that salvation is an issue of the heart, not the works of the hands. But the Lord said to this man that he was not in the kingdom. What makes me to differ? What makes me to differ? Am I in the kingdom of God? How can I know if I'm in the kingdom of God? You want to know the answer to that? How can we know? Is there any difference in this man and us? Any difference at all? The Lord said he's out of the kingdom. How can we know if we're in it? Verse 34. When Jesus saw that, he answered discreetly. He said unto him, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God, and no man after that durst ask him any question." After he said, "You're close," if I ask my kids a question to see if they know the answer, sometimes you ask a question because you want an answer, and sometimes you ask a question to see if they know the answer, right? If I ask them a question to see if they know the answer, after they answer me, if I say, "You're close," what I'm saying is, "You're wrong. Try again," right? After our Lord said to this man, "You're close," this man didn't say another word. Was he satisfied with being close? Was he offended by the Lord saying that to him? Let me ask us this. Are we satisfied with being close? Now you think about religion. "Well, we're close." You ever heard somebody say that? You ever heard somebody say that? "Well, I like listening to him just fine. He doesn't have everything right, but he's close." All right, now listen. Are we satisfied with being close? Are we satisfied with being close to the blood, but not in the blood? Are we satisfied with that? Are we satisfied with being close to the promise of his covenant, but not in the prompt? Can we just walk away on that? Are we offended? Does it offend us by him telling us that in our flesh, everything that we know and do and are by nature, every single one of us stand without? You're close. You're not in by nature. You're not in. When God says that to us through his word, that by nature we have no hope and we're without God in the world, does that offend us to the point that we walk away with no more questions? Nothing more to say to him. Or does our heart, just like Jacob, cry out to him, I will not let you go except you bless me? After hearing the truth of our condition with God, does our heart have nothing more to say? Or does it drop to its knees and start begging? Which does it do? Please, Lord, you have no hope. You're without God in the world. You cannot be saved on your own. You don't deserve it. You're rejected. You're an outcast. And you're going to die in your sins. Please, God. God, please have mercy on me. I know I don't deserve it. I understand that I'm not owed it. I understand it. The whole condition would be an unfair condition. I know that I have nothing to offer you. But I'm begging. Please, God, be merciful to me. I'm a sinner. That woman came to him begging for help. She was begging for help. And this is what he said to her. Why would I help you? You're a dog. What'd she do? Did she turn and walk away? Nothing else to say to him. She cried. Truth. But I'm your dog. And I'm going to sit here and beg. I beg, Lord, I beg. Are you saying that salvation is dependent on us? Nope. What I'm saying is, this is our evidence. A child of the kingdom hears the truth and runs to Christ for mercy. A child of the kingdom hears the truth about everything he is not and everything he does not have. And God opens his eyes to see that Christ is all. He's all my hope. He's all my doctrine. He's all my salvation. And I can't walk away from him. I just can't. I cannot stop begging and pleading. I cannot stop. This man right here said to the face of Jesus Christ, he said, I believe there's one God. Those who are in the kingdom say to the face of Jesus Christ, I believe you are God. This man said to the face of Jesus Christ, I believe you just told me the truth. Those who are in the kingdom say to the face of Jesus Christ, I believe the truth you just told me. I believe it. You're saying that I am by nature without. I believe you. I believe you. Help me, Lord. Help me. After hearing the truth, this man right here walked away. Our Lord asked his disciples one time, will you go away also? They said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life. I can't. There's nowhere else to go. Can we say that? One way, one God, one salvation. There's nowhere else to go. Well, over there it's close. I can't do that. Close is not close enough. If that's what our hearts say, we are in the kingdom. We're in the kingdom. He that hath the Son hath life. If He is all I need, if He's all I must have, if nothing else will do, that's life. All that the Father has given Him shall come to Him. Him. And he that comes to Him, the soul that can't walk away because God the Father's drawing him, can't walk away. He that comes begging and pleading for mercy, he said, I will in no wise cast out. No wise. They're going to be in. And I will raise them up at the last day. This is the final thing I want to say to this. Come to Christ. Come to Christ. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. How does a person do that? Ask Him. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Lay hold of Him and don't let go. How does a person do that? Ask Him. If we do, that'll be our evidence. That'll be our evidence that He's laid hold of us and He won't let go. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand together.